Okay, Rabbi, so we'll start Perek Aruba, and believe that the next thing you will do after whatever we accomplish today will be on Daf Samachei Amud Aleph, as I mentioned earlier. This point in Masechet Bava Kamma is really a midpoint, not just in terms of counting Dapim, but also in terms of themes, of topics, because we basically completed at this point all the Arba Avos Nezikin, that's Shor, Bar, Matver, and Hever, and we've discussed Shomrim, and now we're up to Kefel and Dalet Vehe. So the Mishnah says the following: Meruba. Now the word Meruba is a kind of ambiguous term, as we'll soon see, because Meruba might mean I'm going to give you one example, but there are many other examples, or Meruba might mean this is the only example that exists. Meruba midas tashlume kefel mi midas tashlume arba v'chamisha. The Torah says here in Parshas Mishpatim, and this is Perek Chav Beis, Psukim Vav and Zayin, ki itein ish al reyu kesef o keim lishmar v'gunav mi beis ha'ish. If the object is stolen, and we locate the ganav, yishalem shnayim, he pays twice the amount that he stole. So in other words, he can return the object, but he has to pay the, in addition to returning the object, he's got to pay the value of the object, and that's called kefel. Im lo yimotze aganav, then the Torah goes on to say, al kol dvar pesh, al shor, al chamor, al sev, al salma, al kol aveda, asher yomar ki uzeh, etc., etc., is yishalem shnayim lireyehu. Fine. These are the two psukim that deal with kefel. Please make note, because this is a sugya much later on in Daf Samach Gimel, we won't get to it today, that is the two ways of learning these two psukim. Because why did the Torah have to repeat itself and say, im yimotze aganov yishalim shnayim, and then again in the very next pasuk the Torah says, yishalim shnayim. And here we have a machlokes in the Gemara itself later on. According to one Manti Omar, both of these psukim are referring to what's called a toein tainas ganav bepikadon.
Sorry.
Okay, so we'll have to, you know, you'll have to wait until we have a few minutes to discuss that. And the other man, the Arm of the Gemara, says no, we have to split the psukim. One pasuk is for ganav, and the other pasuk is for toein tainas ganav bepikadon. That's going to come up soon, that's why I mention it in our introduction here. Now, what does kefel have that extends it beyond the scope of Dalet Vehe? Dalet Vehe applies to the case of either Tvicha Mechira, and the Gemara is going to go into detail about Tvicha and Mechira, when you did the Tvicha, when you did the Mechira. And for some cases you pay four times its value, for other cases you pay five times its value. But where does kefel extend in its scope beyond Dalet Vehe? Shemidas tashlume kefel noheges bein bedover sheyesh bo ruach chaim ubein bedover sheein bo ruach chaim. So if the ganav steals something, whatever he steals, he's going to have to pay shnayim. There are no exceptions. You know, we leave no captives behind. Everything is included under the chi of kefel. And that includes anything that's alive. And we're going to have a whole discussion about dogim, about fish. If he steals someone's fish, he has to pay kefel. And something that's inanimate. Even perhaps karka. Now, you may ask me, well, how could you steal karka? Karka ain't an exeles. But we have something called mechubar la karka, which means that right now it's still attached to the ground. And it has the status of karka by virtue of the fact it's mechubar la karka, but yet you can steal it. You can cut it off, but when you cut it off, it's considered karka because it's mechubar la karka. And you might be chayav kefel for that. The Gemara later on is going to derive from a special miut that you're not chayav kefel in the case of karka. But logically, we would have said that karka, like any inanimate object, is subject to kefel. Or, for example, shtar. Let's say I steal someone's shtar. So logically, if you assume the shtar is worth whatever the amount of money that's written in the shtar, meaning that the malvik could have collected with that shtar 1,000, and now, as a result of the fact that it was stolen, he loses that 1,000. So then, when we locate the ganav who stole the shtar, he's going to have to return not only the shtar, but also 1,000, which is kefal. And once again, later on, the Gemara is going to try to see if we can derive from a special pasuk, what's called a klal pradu klal, to exclude a shtar. That maybe even though shtar, like any other object of Ein Bo Ruach Chayim, should be logically subject to the din of kefel, but the chiddush is going to be no, there's going to be a special exclusion for shtar. So we have two categories of exclusions. Everything else is included in kefel. What are those two categories of exclusions? One is karka and the other is shtoros. Good? Fine. However, midas tashlume arba v'chamisha, to pay four times and five times the value of the gneva, that's very limited. The Torah says, gzeres hakosav, I don't understand the logic of it, that it only applies in two cases. Einin oheges el v'shar v'seh bilvat. No other bali chayim are included in dalet v'hei. No inanimate objects are included in dalet v'hei. Now, the fact that no inanimate objects are included in Tvicha, that I understand well, but in the case of Mechira, we would have said that if he steals someone's table and he sells it, he should pay four or five times its value under the law of Dalet V'Hei. Shenemar, but the Torah says in the parasha of Dalet V'Hei, that's in an earlier perek, it's very interesting and unusual that the Torah presents the laws of Dalet V'Hei in perek Chof Aleph Misefer Shmos. The laws of Gzela, of Gneva, excuse me, of Kefal are only presented in Perek Chof Beis of Sefer Shmos. And the Mepharshim go to town on this. Why did the Torah give us the parish of Dalet V'Hei earlier, before the parish of Kefal? And the Torah says the following. I'm going to read the whole pasuk to you. Ki yignov ish shar oseh utvacho omecharo. Chamisha bakar yishalim tachas hashor, v'arba tzon tachas haseh. The Torah is a little bit more lenient in the case of a seh, but be that as it may, the Torah limits the chiyuv of hay, of dalet v'hay, to these two species of animals, a shor or a seh. Now exactly what's included on the shor, what's included on the seh, that's one of the subjects here of the chiyuv of dalet v'hei. But be that as it may, you see already that dalet v'hei is very limited, and it applies only in very, very specific cases, whereas the chiyuv of kefel expands to include many, many cases. What the sugi is going to analyze, are there any other differences between kefel and dalet v'hei? Why did the Mishnah only mention one when there are a whole list of others? And either we're going to have to apply the principle of what? Tana v'shir, right? Or we're going to have to say no, that actually there's only one difference between kefel and dalet v'hei, but then we're going to have to rack our brains and figure out why those differences don't apply in many, many other different cases. So again, all this is going to hinge on how we interpret that one word at the beginning of the Mishnah, merubah. Does merubah mean that there's one difference, or does the merubah mean there are many differences, only one of which is mentioned by the Tana of the Mishnah? That's called Tana v'Shir. Now the Sefer of the Mishnah goes on to another discussion about kefel, and that is, Ein agonev achar aganov mishalem tashlumei kefel. So for this we want to see a pasuk again that we mentioned before in Shmos Chaf Beis. Pasuk Vav, the Torah says, V'guna mibeis ha'ish. Ha'ish means it was stolen from the owner's property. But what happens if Shimon steals it from Reuven, the owner's property, and then Levi steals it from Shimon's property? That's called a gonev achar aganov. And the Mishnah establishes that the gonev achar aganov does not pay kefel. What impression do you get about the keren itself? That he certainly does have to pay. So that's going to be interesting. The first ganav is paying kefel, the second ganav is paying keren.
Why?
why does the Torah say the second Ganav is potter from Kefel?
No, that I totally get.
Yeah, right.
It's not his to begin with. Why would he, in other words, there's a certain, like I stole something from you, right? It doesn't belong to you.
Right.
Now somebody comes along and steals it from me.
Right.
Why should I get paid back with that?
So that's going to be an issue. Who do you pay? Do you pay the first ganav so that he could pay the bailim, or do you pay directly to the bailim? It'd be interesting, according to the logical reasoning that you pay the bailim, he makes a nice profit on the deal. But again, he always makes a profit on the deal. It doesn't mean that it's worth, you know, worth going through this hassle and all the court fees. But it's a very interesting case that the nignav will collect Kefel, he might even collect Dalet Vehei, and even if he can't collect Dalet Vehei, nevertheless he might be able to collect Gimel. How does he collect Gimel? Because from the first Ganav he collects Kefel, and there might be a possibility, again we have to see the Sugya, we're not up to that yet, of collecting another Keren from the second Ganav. And that depends on Kinyoni Gneva and who made a Kinyon on the Gneva and so forth and so on. So again, let's just read the Sefer of the Mishnah one more time. Eina gonev achar ganav mishalim tashlume kefel. He doesn't have to pay kefel neither to the first ganav nor to the owner of the object. However, even though there's a miyud of egunah mibeis ha'ish v'lo mibeis haganav, you know, it's the only chi of kefel is when you steal from the beis bailim. But nevertheless, Tosfos is going to point out later on in this meset that he pays keren. Now, we had a discussion here about whether the two psukim are referring to a case called Toein Tainus Ganav v'Pikadon, or is there one pasuk, the first one, that's pasuk Vav, that refers to Ganav, and the second pasuk, which is psukim Zayin and Ches, actually the second unit of psukim, that refers to Toein Tainus Ganav v'Pikadon. And why do I point out this to you? Bishlam, if you hold that the first pasuk of Aguna Bibesa each is referring to a Ganav, then it makes sense that we can justify this miut of Aguna Bibesa each below Mibesa Ganav. But if we learn that both psukim, the first and the second, are referring, that's the Sugya Daf Samach Gimel, are referring to Toei Tainus Ganav Bipikadon, it means that the parsha of Kefel is not written here. I mean, Kefel, in the case of a Ganav, is not written here. Then it's very odd that we could derive from this pasuk that Velo Mibes HaGanav, Veguna Mibes HaIsh, Velo Mibes HaGanav, the pasuk's not even referring to a Ganav. So we're going to have to find another source, according to that Mandi Omar, for the exclusion of Gonev Minagan. So please make a note of that, and that's going to come up later on. At this point, I wanted to ask you the following question. When we say that the Gonev Minaganov is Potter Mikefel, but he's Chayef for Keren, what does that mean? Why is he Chayef for Keren? And I want to offer two possibilities. One possibility is to say he's chayef for keren because he's a ganav. He also is a ganav. If he's a ganav, why isn't he chayef for kefel? The Torah says v'guna mibeis ha'ish. The other possibility is to say no. He can't be chayef as a ganav. He never stole it from the reshus of the bailim, and therefore he's not a ganav. Nevertheless, he has to return the keren. Why? Because that keren belongs to the bailim. I'll give you an example. If let's say you deposit an object in my possession, and you ask me to watch it, I'm called what? A shomer. Why does a shomer have to return the object? See, you don't even have to answer that question. You don't even have to ask that question. The question is ridiculous from its get-go because you have to return the object because it belongs to the mafkid. You know, you have no right to hold on to it. So in the case of a gonev and a ganav, he has to return the object only because he's no worse than a shomer who has to return the object. He's holding on to someone else's object. but not because he has a din of a gana. My nafkimina. So there's a halacha that a shomer is potter from onsen. If, let's say, circumstances beyond his control bring about the destruction of the object, and if he can't return it, he's potter. He's only chayv for pshia. In the case of a shomer sachar, he's a higher level of shmira. In the case of a shoel, even a higher level of shmira. A shoel is actually potter from onsen. Chayav onsen. But all other shomer, with the exception of a shoel, are potter from onsen. So what's the deal with a gonev min aganav? The Mishnah says that a gonev min aganav is potter from kefel. Why is that so? Is he potter from kefel because he's not a ganav? Because the Torah says that who's a ganav? Only someone who steals mi base ha'ish. Base ha'ish means base bialim. He didn't steal it from base bialim. Therefore he's not a ganav. Ah, you'll ask me, why does he have to return the object and pay keren? That's only because he's a shomer. But if he's only a shomer, then what's going to be the deal if the object gets destroyed by no pshia of his own, but by some natural catastrophe? We call it onsen. Then he's potter. Or do we say no? A ganov is chayev even for onsen. There's no patur and gnev of onsen. So if I say that the ganov in a ganov is a ganov, but he's potter from kefel, then he'd be chayev for onsen. If on the other hand I say that a goni ben aganov is mufka from gneva because he didn't steal the base pile, it's not just a ptur in kefel, it's not a din mesuyim in kefel, but rather it's a revelation that he's not a ganov, then he only has a din of a shomer, and the shomer is potter from ons. So this is a discussion in the Ketzos HaChoshen, and he vacillates back and forth as to whether goni ben aganov is chayev for ons.
What's the final decision?
I don't have the final decision for you. He quotes here a machlokes between the Ar Samech and the Nesivas HaMishpat. The Ktzos doesn't apparently come to any final decision. So if you'd like to research this, I have a whole bunch of Maramakomos here, and you could research. But I just thought the very subject matter is Kedai to mention. Okay. Now, if a gonev min aganov is potter from kefel, what happens if he takes a chalif and he shechts the animal, or he sells it to someone else? Is he chayav for dalav vehe? So I would have said, even without reading the Mishnah, that for sure he's potter from dalav vehe. Lo mi boy, if we say like the Ketzos and the Nesivos, that he's not a ganov at all, because it says v'gunav mi beis ha'ish. But even if I would tell you that he's chayav in keren, because of his status as a ganov, he's just potter from kefel, I would have said that for sure he's potter from dalav vehe. I don't know why the Mishnah feels compelled. Let's read the last line in the Mishnah. V'lo atovech lo amochach ganov mishalim tashlume arba v'chamisha. Right, so Reuven stole it from Shimon, and then Levi stole it from Reuven, the first ganov. And Levi went ahead and he shechted the animal, or he sold it to someone else. He doesn't have to pay dalav vehe. You've already told me that it's potter from what? From kefel. So on the Mishnayos, there's something called Tosfos Chadashim. And he writes that the reason why the Mishnah says he's potter for dalav vehe is because since he's not chayav kefel, therefore he's not chayav dalav vehe. Good. I understand that very well. But why did the Mishnah feel compelled to have to tell me that? If he's not chayav kefel, then for sure he's not chayav dalav vehe. Is there a possibility, therefore, I'm raising a logical possibility, that there could be a chiyuv of dalav vehe, the Mishnah's coming lafuke, there could be a chiyuv dalav vehe for any ganav, even a ganav who's potter from kefel. So why would I say such a thing? So one of the famous sugyas in Perek Meruba is the sugya of Eid Zomeh. Now watch what happens in the case of Eid Zomeh. There are two Eidim that are testifying against Reuven that he stole something. Then if we accept that testimony, Reuven has to pay what? Kefel. Now another two Eidim come in and they testify that same Reuven shechted the animal. and therefore Reuven has to pay Dalet Vehet. You know, it's another pays in Gimel on top of the Kefir. Now a third pair of Edom comes in, and then Mazim, the first two pairs of Edom. They say about the first pair of Edom, Imono Ayisim, you couldn't have possibly seen the Kneifa. They say about the second pair of Edom, Imono Ayisim, you couldn't possibly have seen the Tvicha or the Mechira. And the question is whether the second pair of Edom have to pay Dalet Vehet. And that really depends upon our suffix. Because there's no chiv of kefal on the second pair of Edom, because the second pair of Edom didn't testify in the grave at all. They only testified on the Tvicha Mechira. But on the other hand, even though they didn't testify in the kefal, they testified on a Maisa that's Mechayev Dalet Vehet. So as far as the Gimel and Dalet, you follow what I mean by the Gimel and Dalet? Meaning, the first pair of Edom have to pay, we'll call it Aleph and Beis. They have to pay Karen and Kefa because they testified falsely that Reuven stole the animal. What about the second pair of Edom? Do they have to pay Gimel, Dalet, and Hay, if you follow what I mean? And guess what?
No.
The Gemara says the Chayav. That the second pair of Edom, even though they didn't testify anything whatsoever about the Gneva, and therefore they didn't engender any Chiv on Reuven to pay Karen and Kefel, nevertheless they have to pay Dalet Vehet.
How do you know there was a Gneva?
But not Karen and Kefel.
Well, now how did they know that there was a Gneva? That's interesting. So the Gemara goes through a whole thing which is called Tol Kidei Dibur. What does it mean, Tol Kidei Dibur? Kidei Sheila Shalom V'Rav. Right, the main sugya of Kidei Sheila Shalom Talmud L'Rav of Shom Alecha Rabbi Yomori, it's right here in Perek HaChovel, in the sugya on Daf Ayin Hey of what? Of Eid Zomeim L'Mafreo Nifsal Mikanalavo Nifsal. I don't want to get into that right now because that's a lot of fun for later on. Abai V'Rova, one of the few cases we pass like Abai against Rova. And the sugya determines that if the second pair of Edom testify toch kidei divur, the first pair of Edom, therefore the chayav gimel dalet and hay for the testimony on tvicha umechira. So I would like to derive possibly, and we have to get to that sugya. The conclusion from that sugya is that dalet vehay is a separate entity unto itself, and it can exist independent of kefel. And therefore, if I would apply that logic here to the case of Gonev Min HaGanov, why doesn't he have to pay for Tvicha Mechira Dalet Vehet? It's not the explanation of the Tosfos Chadoshim that if he's not Chayev Kefel, then ipso facto he's not Chayev Dalet Vehet. Not necessarily. It could be a separate halacha here, and here the Nesivos will help us, that V'guna Mibeis Ha'ish, that the entire parish of Gneva, with all its chiyuvim, whether it's the knas of Kefel or the knas of Dalet Vehet in case of Tzvicha Mechira, it's all predicated on Mibeis Ha'ish. But if he didn't steal Mibeis Ha'ish, because he stole it from the house of the Ganov, he's not called a Ganov. Ah, you'll ask me, why is he chayev in Karen? The answer is he's chayev in Karen, just like a shomer is chayev in Karen. And then Afgamina says the Nesivis is that if an onus happened and therefore he couldn't return it, he's totally potter like any show. Alright.
Rabbi, what's Chayev and Karen mean?
Chayev and Karen means Hashavas HaChefetz. If the Chefetz is Be'el.
So then how can the second, the Ganav, Gonev and the Ganav have to pay Karen when the Ganav is already paying Karen?
So that's why I say that the Torah recognizes, according to this Svara, the possibility that the Nignav will be able to collect from two people.
Yeah, but then you're destroying your definition of Karen being Hashavas Aveda. You can't make two Avedas. There's only one Aveda.
No, the Ganav himself for sure is Chayav in he has to pay the Karen.
Yeah, but what about the
he has to pay its value? Now I'm saying that the Gonev Min HaGanav, he has to return the object. He's holding on to the object of the Nignav. If the object is lost or destroyed, it depends. Was it lost or destroyed through his Pshia? And then he's Chayav Torah Shomer. Okay. He's not worse than a Shomer because he stole it from the gun.
Okay.
Why doesn't the second one have to pay to the first one?
Yeah.
That's going to be the sugya later on. I'm not responsible. Fine. Frank the Gemara, I don't understand. The only difference between Kefal and Dalet Vehet that you can come up with is the items for which you're chayav. Why not suggest another difference between Kefal and Dalet Vehet? And now we get into the sugya of Toen Tainas Ganov Bipikot. So let me give a little bit of a background to Toein Tainas Ganov Bipikot. A Shomer, in a case of a Shomer Chinam, is Chayef of Pshia, but he's Potter for Gneva Vaved. What if this Shomer comes forward when the Mafkid says, give me back my object, return my object to me, and he claims it was stolen? So the law is, in a case of a Shomer Chinam, that he's potter, but he has to take what?
Shvuah.
A shvuah. Now, there are two possible scenarios that are relevant to us that might occur after he took the shvuah. Scenario number one is the shomer himself does tshuva, and he comes to admit, to confess in Bezdin, that he has been harboring, what word should I use? You know, he has the object stashed away in his attic the entire time. That's one possible scenario. The other possible scenario is that he doesn't do tshuva at all, but two Adam testify that we saw the object in his attic. I.e. he stole the object. But again, it's a different kind of gneva, because keep in mind that the yad, okay, this is another sugya, but the yad of the shomer is the yad of the mafkid, which means that he didn't steal it from the private property of the nignav. He stole it from his own property. So then you have to understand that wherever he's watching it, you know, let's say he's putting it in his attic, so that's considered beis ha'ish. When I say beis ha'ish, I mean, it's considered the property of whom? Of the mafkid, the owner, the bialim of the object. And therefore, it doesn't come under this exclusion of mibeis ha'ish v'lo mibeis ha'gan. So let's go with the second scenario, and then we'll go back to the first scenario. What happens in the second scenario when Aden testify against the shomer that he's actually stashing away the object in his attic?
His attic.
In the shomer's attic. So in such a case, he pays what's called keren v'chomesh, and he has to bring what's called a karban asher. That's not our sugya. Our sugya is the first scenario, where instead of Aden testifying against the shomer that he has it stashed away, he himself, the shomer himself, confesses that he perjured himself with the shvua shav, shvua sheker, and not only that, he's holding on to the object. In such a case, and we'll bully later, we'll read the psukim inside, the Torah says that since A, he used a tainas ganov as a tainas ptur, because again, a shomer chinam is part of four gneva, again, shomer himself is inapplicable here, and B, he took a shvua sheker to support that claim, when you have A plus B, and now the Shomer admits that he stole the object, he has to pay kefal. Say it again?
Even though Moda Bekanas.
Oh, so you're going to have to know whether or not the Adam came later or not. Okay, that's going to be the famous sugi of Moda Bekanas V'achkach Bo'ed. Now, not only did this shomer steal the object, but he went ahead and he slaughtered the object, if it was an animal, like a shar oseh. Or, for example, he sold the object. Does he pay dalet vehei? And the answer, l'chora, depends upon how to read out Mishnah, the word merub. I don't mean the lumpus of it. I'm talking about, just technically, how do we establish the law in this case? If we assume that the only possible difference between kefal and dalet vehei is the object, what I call the victim, in other words, what was stolen. Was it a live animal? Was it all animals? Was it a fish? Was it a bird? Was it an inanimate object, etc.? That's where the nafkamina lies between kefal and dalet vehei. Dalet vehei is limited to sharos seh. But there are no other differences. So if this shomer has the shar or the set locked up in his attic, takes a shvuah sheker to the fact that the shor or the seh was stolen. Now he confesses the crime. I have it up in my attic, but I slaughtered it. Does he pay dalveh? The answer is yes. He's got to pay dalveh. The lovedness of it is that he's a full-fledged ganav. The Torah says that the Tohen Tainus ganav b'kodem is chayav kefel. And if he's chayav kefel, it means he's a ganav. And if he slaughters it, he's chayav dalveh. Because if you're going to argue that he's the Tohen Tainus ganav b'kodem is only chayav kefel, but he's not chayav dalveh, then the Mishnah should have mentioned that under Meruba Midas Kefel, maybe the style of the that Kefel applies even in a case of towing Tainus Ganav Bipikadon, whereas Dalvehe only applies in a case of a Ganav Mamish who physically stole the object from the Rishus of the Bible, but not this new halachic entity of a Ganav which is called towing Tainus Ganav Bipikadon. So let's start the Sugi. Frankly, Gemara, I don't understand. If the Mishnah is meant to list all the differences between Kefel and Dalveh, is Ve'ilu Midas Tashlume Kefel no Heges, Bain Beganov, Ubain Betanas, Toen Tainas Ganov, Umidas Tashlume Arba Vachamisha Eino no Heges Elo, Beganov Bevad Lokatoni. Why did the Mishnah omit this difference between Toen Tainas Ganov, between Kefel and Dalet Vehei, in the case of Toen Tainas Ganov Bipikodon? And the Gemara is now assuming that logically one would have said that Dalet Vehei should not apply in the case of Toen Tainas Ganov Bipikodon. The question is why? But the Gemara says, "Mesayel le Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan." I never understood this. Why the Gemara has to say "Mesayel le Rabbi Chiya bar Abba"? Anyway, so here we have a source for Rabbi Yochanan's ruling: "Hatoin Tainas Ganav Bipikadon, Mishalim Tashlume Kefel Tovach Umachar, Mishalim Tashlume Arba." V'chamisha. The Gemara later on at Daf Samad Gimel Amid Beis is going to explain the logic of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that when the Torah says that Toen Tainus Ganav is Chayav Kefel, the Torah immediately is placing a Toen Tainus Ganav in the Parsha of Ganav, and therefore if he's in the Parsha of Ganav, then he should be paying Dalet Vehei. So let's just analyze now a very famous machlokas between the Rambam and Tosfos. What does this mean that a Toen Tainus Ganav Bikod according to Rabbi Yochanan is Chayav Dalet Vehei? So let's start with the Shitas HaRambam. This is the Shita of not only the Rambam, but many other Rishonim, the Ran. And the Rambam says that it matters not when he shechted the animal. Okay, I'll come back to the Rambam in just a second. The Tosfos Rid says, and others agree with him, that we have to focus on the following issue. Toen Tainus Ganav Bipikadon means that through X and Y, let's go over it one more time, through his Taina plus his Shavua, he becomes a ganav in potential, right? He becomes a ganav. What I mean in potential, I mean to say that if he admits his crime, he has to pay kefil. Okay? So what engendered his status as a ganav? Do you follow what I'm saying? He never actually stole the object. So how does he become a ganav?
He didn't steal the object.
What do you mean he didn't steal the object?
I'm saying he didn't physically steal the object. Correct? He halachically is considered a ganav. What halacha makes him into a ganav? Well, no, forget about shlichas yad. He didn't even touch the object. It's just sitting in his stashed away in a safe you know, behind the wall. You know what I'm saying?
But that is the intention to keep it. The fact that I take it away
from that's not enough. Intention to keep it is not enough to make him into a ganav. He needs A, to be towing Tainus ganav. He has to come in front of the Bezdin and say that it was stolen. And B, what else does he need? Shmur. A shvua. Now, if Reuven takes Shimon's object and shechts it, what's that called? That's called Let's say I shecht your object. What's that called? That's not a ganav. I didn't steal your object. Your object is in your rishus. I never took it out of your rishus. That's called Adam Amazik. Correct? Adam Amazik. Adam Amazik pays Karen. He doesn't pay Kefel. He doesn't pay Dalet Vehei. That's Adam Amazik. So comes along. Wait a minute, just 1 second. Did I say the Tosus Rid? Forget it. I made a mistake. We'll get to Tosus Rid in a minute. Comes along the Rambam, and the Rambam says the following: that the Toein Tainas Ganov Bepikadon shechted the animal before he took the Shvuah. In other words, there's time T1, T2, and T3. Time T1 is when he was towing Tainus Ganav. Says the Rambam, time T2, we'll see why the Tosfos Rid rejects this, is when he shechted the animal. And time T3 is when he took a shvua to support his claim that it was stolen. So he runs out of Beis Din, you know, after he puts forward his claim that it was stolen. And he shechts the animal. Says the Rambam, he's chayav for dalet vehei. Comes along a Tosfos Rid and says, wait a minute. Until he takes the shvua, he's not a toin tainus ganav b'vikadon. Because the Torah says the toin tainus ganav b'vikadon is only after he takes the shvua. Therefore, says the Tosfos Rid, when Rabbi Yochanan says that he's chayav dalet vehei for shechting the animal, that's only if he did so after what? After the shvua. But if he does it before the Shvuah, he's not Chayav Dalet Vehei. The Rambam on the other hand says, let the Shvuah Sheker come later. It's irrelevant. He's not an Adam HaMazik. He's a Ganav who's Chayav Dalet Vehei for the Shechita, even though the Shechita took place when, says the Rambam? Before he took the Shvuah. I'll read to you the Lashon of Rambam. The Rambam writes in Perek Perek Dalet Milchus Gneva, that I'm sorry, I got it right the first time. I'm going to drive you guys crazy here, myself as well. The Tosfos Rid says that even if he was Tovach before the Shvuah, that's enough to engender Dalet, correct? I think I said that was the Rambam. So again, just switch the names, you know. And the Rambam says no. The Rambam says li'achar shenishba, then tovach u'machar. Says the Rosh, because if he was tovach before he was nishba, hareze tovach bebeis bailim kodem agneva. Vayna Mishalim Shum Knas. Wow.
So what's the support of these?
So again, let's just repeat. I just want to make sure we got the names. According to the Rambam, when is he Chai Fidal Vehei? Only after what? After he took the Shvuah and then he shechted it. According to Tosfos Rid, it matters not. Even if he shechted it before the Shvuah, he was still a Toin Tainus Ganav Pikod.
No, he said that's the Rambam.
And therefore he's Chai Fidal Vehei?
What's his spar? Rambam's spar makes sense. What's his spar? Tosfos
Rid. Rabbi, I want you to tell him. I'm throwing it back in your court.
The Rambam says that he's chayav even before the Shvuah.
No, I made that mistake. Sorry, I got the next names mixed up. The Rambam says he's only chayav after the Shvuah. Why? Says the Rosh, because when does he become a ganav? He becomes a ganav only after he took the Shvuah. Before that, call him a sholech yad b'kadon, call him adam amazik, let him pay keren. He doesn't have to pay kefel, and certainly not dalet. Well, he'll have to pay kefel later because he took the Shvuah, but he doesn't have to pay dalet vehei because he's not a ganav. Kamas only tells this rid, and he says, I couldn't care less. Even if he shechted it before the Shvuah,
he's still got it.
He's not only is he a ganav, but he's chayav d'alvei. Obviously, he's a ganav, as you say very well.
I say like this, because if it's a regular case where he doesn't touch the object, he's just his toeing, then that's a unique case. It's not a case of regular ganav because he didn't use his hands to physically play. But once he was shechted it or he sold it, he physically took the object. He's now moved it.
Rabosai, you're not on the right page here, Rabosai. What you have to be thinking about now, Rabosai, what you have to be thinking about now is the Shavuah. What do you say, Shalom? It all depends on the Shavuah. Who can give me two definitions of the Shavuah? Yisrael, can you help me out here? Because you're learning about Metzias, so, you know, these are all familiar.
Shavuah is the Maisa Gneva.
If Shavuah is the Maisa Gneva, then who's right? Who's correct?
The
Rambam is correct. What does the Tosfos Rid hold? How does he define the Shavuah? Shavuah is only a Tanai. A Tanai. That's the key word that I want. And the question is, how do we understand the ingredient of Shavuah? Is the Shavuah itself part and parcel, essential to the Maisa Gneva, so to speak? You know, again, there is no Maisa Gneva in the sense of the Shomer stealing it from the base Bailim, but there's a substitute which the Torah considers a Maisa Gneva, and that would be the Taina plus the Shvuah. That's how the Rambam understands. Yeah. Therefore, the Shvuah itself is an essential part, an integral part in the Gneva itself. He's not a Ganav until he takes the Shvuah. Whereas the Tosfos Rid is understanding, no, the Shvuah is necessary, but only as a condition. It doesn't set up the Maisa Gneva. What is the Maisa Gneva according to Tosfos Rid? It's the Tain itself. The Tain itself is the Maisa Gneva. That's why I think they're arguing. But he doesn't offer any interpretation, but I think...
So they were both. So he did the Maisa of Tzvicha or Mechir before he made the Taina, then
I don't think anybody would say Yitzchai. That's either Shalech Yad V'Pikadon or the Mamazik. Again, you have to know the sugyas of Shalech Yad V'Pikadon, whether he has to actually move it. Or.
So, but I thought we said that the place he puts it in his house is called Beis Aish. So why is it not a case of going to Beis Aish?
But again, he doesn't steal it from the Beis Ha'ish in the classical sense. You know, he's just saying that it was stolen. And the very moment he says he was stolen, it was stolen. Again, and he supports that with a Shvuah, he becomes the Gan. Okay.
Yes, it's not any difference here. As long as he's acting as a shomer, then the place where the shmirah is taking place is considered to be Beis Ha'ish. As soon as he makes the taina or makes the shvuah, it becomes not Beis Ha'ish but his own house.
Right. So now he's chayv as a ganav with the taina. With the taina.
The taina has taken it out of the Beis Ha'ish. Because now the place where it's being kept is no longer Beis Ha'ish.
Right. So Rabosai, at this point in the sugya, which is called the Lishna Kama, are we applying the rule of Tana Vashir or are we rejecting the rule of Tana Vashir? Is anybody with me? Again, Misayele L'Rabchir, or Misayele L'Rabyochan, the way I want to write. What?
Rejecting.
It's rejecting Tana Vashir. In other words, the Gemara now is of the opinion that the word Meruba, and that's what we're going to see, you see the Tosis Dibra Maska Meruba. So if you look at the third line, Savrahu Lishna, he's referring to our Lishna, Dekeva Dektani Meruba Ein Lomar Shir Kamo Ein Ben. Right, have you learned any sugyas and shas, like if you have learned Megillah, Ein Ben. When it says Ein Ben, and then it says Ella, you don't apply the principle of Tana Vashir. Why? Because the Mishnah is going out of its way to tell you that these are the differences, and otherwise they're exactly equivalent. So this first Lishna, which we're about to reject, and the second Lishna maintains that Meruba, the word Meruba is exactly like Ein Ben, and anything that was omitted from the Mishnah is obviously common to both Kefel and Dal Vehe. Otherwise it would have been in the Mishnah. Kams Nika Diamri, and the second Lishna says, Lema Misayele, shall we assume that this is a proof? Lirab Chio Bar Abba, the Omer Chio Bar Abba, Rab Yochanan, Toyntan, Eskan, Vikon, Misham Tashume Kefel, Tobach, Mumach, Misham Tashume Arba, Vacham Bisho. And the Gemara says, Nain, Miktoni Ein Bain. If it would have said Ein Bain, that's clear. that means it's rejecting the principle of Tana Vishir. Meruba Katani. But the word Meruba means that the extent and the application of Kefal is greater, the scope is wider than that of Dalve. But Tana Vishir, the Mishnah is not committed to tell you every last case. Enochinami now, according to this Lishna Basra, we reject Rabbi Yochanan, or at least we're free to reject Rabbi Yochanan, and Toin Tainus Ganav Bikodin is a chiddush in Kefel, but it doesn't make him into a full-fledged Ganav. I mean, that's the, you know, that's the ambiguous twilight zone here. He's a Ganav vis-a-vis Kefel, but he's not a Ganav vis-a-vis Dalet Vehed. And here Tosis asks the famous question that you always ask. The Gemara always asks, whenever you apply the principle of Tana Vashir, what question do you ask? My Shir, the I Shir, right. Why did he choose to leave this out and to include this? And the answer is going to always be that there are other things that are left out. Right? That's always the Gemara's approach whenever it says Tana Vashir, that there were, not just this was left out, but other things were left out as well. So Tosis now wants to know what else was left out besides Toin Tainus Ganav V'Pikud. So this is the, shall I say, the project of Tosis to try to come up with other differences between Kefel and Dalet Vehe, situations in which you chayev Kefel but you potter from Dalet Vehe. So Tosis says the following. Okay, I'm just going to present it in a particular order. Just give me a second here. Yeah. Toin Tainas Ganav Be'aveda. Tosis says that if I find a lost object, and this is a gigantic machlokas between Rabba and Rav Yosef, but let's go according to Rabba right now, a finder is called a Shomer Chinam. Why is that so? According to Rabba, again, Rav Yosef is going to disagree, but we're focused now on Rabba. Why is a finder, is that a good word? Right, a Shomer Aveda. Why is he only a Shomer Chinam and not a Shomer Sachar? He's only Chayev for Pshir, but not for Gneva. Nobody's paying him. Because Schar Mitzvah Al Maleka. Nobody's paying him. That's the sheet of Rabba. And that's, I think, the intuitive conclusion we would have derived. So now, if a Shomer Aveda, Taina's Gneva, it was stolen, then if he takes a Shvua to that effect, he's a Toin Taina's Ganav V'Pikud. Correct? Mm-hmm. Oh, so in that case, he's Chayav Kefel, but he's not Chayav, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Dalet Vehe. If he goes ahead and he shechts the object. So again, here's the case. Reuven finds Shimon's ox. Reuven decides that he's going to take Shimon's ox for his own. He had what you call a regression. I mean, initially he was a Shomer Aveda, you know, he wanted to be kind of Mitzvah Aveda. Now he decides that this ox, I need it badly, you know. So he decides to take it for himself. So what does he do? When we locate, the identify the original owner, and the owner says, then where's my ox? He says, it was stolen. In truth, he stole it. He took a shvua to support his claim of gneva. Rabbi Yochanan says, he's chayv kefel. But Rabbi Yochanan says, we don't go as far as to be mechayv him dal vei if he shechts this ox. Even though Rabbi Yochanan holds that in general, a classical shomer, if he's towing, shomer chino, if he's towing Tainus Ganav V'Pikud and then he shechts the animal, he pays Dalet Vehe, but not the case of Shomer Aveda. So Tosfos says that's another shiur that was left out of this mission. But what's more fascinating to me is the next case of Tosfos. You have two shutfim, partners that own an animal. And one shutf decides that he wants the animal for himself. So he steals the animal, and then he shechts the animal. So the halacha is that he pays kefel. Again, kefel here would be double half, which would mean the equivalent of the keren of the animal. But he doesn't have to pay for shechting the animal anything extra. Okay, then the Gemara has another case, which is called Shutfim Sheganvu, meaning two people stole an animal together, and then they went in and shechted it. And in that case, too, they pay kefil, but not dalet vehei. So Hine says, Tosis, I found you, behold, a whole list of cases that are different, the difference between kefil and dalet vehei, and they're not listed in the Mishnah. Therefore, the Gemara in the Lishna Basra maintains ton of the sheep. So I just wanted to make one comment here. Lithiani is dipe. The case of Shutef Shegun, where one Shutef steals from the other, and then he shechts it, that's not a valid case. Again, Torah Hiva Lilon and Itzarf. I'm just asking a Kashir and Tosus. When you say that there's a tvicha hamachayeves and it should generate a chiyuv dalet vehei and it doesn't, that's a difference between dalet vehei and kefir. For example, in the Toin Tan is ganav bepikodin, he's a full-fledged ganav and he's chayev kefir. If he shefts it, that's shechita. No less than any shechita of a Toin Tan is ganav bepikodon is a shechita from the bialim. I'm shechting the animal that belongs to the bialim because I decide to abscond with it. So I should be chayev dal vehei? Nay. The Gemara insists against Rabbi Yochanan that he's potter from dal vehei. But what I'm suggesting is that the shechita itself is a shechita mechayeves. And that's what the Gemara means, that meruba midas kefel mi midas dal vehei. Just like the Gneva itself, which in case of Toin Tan is Ganav Pikodin, is the Taina plus the Shvua, etc., etc., and now he shechted it, he should be chayav to the Nignav, to the Mafkid, Dalet Vehei. The Torah says you're potter. Again, where the Torah says you're potter, I don't know. According to the Bar Pluta of Rabbi Yochanan. But in the case of Shutfim, that's totally different. That's not a case where the tvicha itself should generate a chiyuv dal vehei, and the Torah said you don't pay dal vehei. There, the shechit itself is not a machayev. Why? Because when am I illegitimately shechting an animal? When it doesn't belong to me. But if it belongs to me, because I'm a shutav, then although, again, it wasn't the nicest thing to do, and I'm certainly shechting half of an animal that belongs to my shutav, but nevertheless, you can't say that that shechit itself is a shechit asura. That's why he's potter from dalet vehei. That's not a din in dalet vehei, that's a din in shechit shutav. That shechit shutav is mufka from being machayev dalet vehei, because it's not a shechit asur. Insofar as he has the green light to shecht it, because he's shechting that which he owns, therefore that shechita cannot generate dalet vehei. Shechita for dalet vehei has to be a shechita sisur. No, the whole sugya where the shechita works or not to be matir lisa nevela, you know, kol man d'omer rachmona lo tavid, yovid mahani or not, the sugya tchulin in truma in tvur, excuse me, of abai
v'rov. So why do you say the same thing with Gneva? It's his. How can he steal something that's his?
So the Torah says that if you not only steal something, but now after you made the Kinyan Gneva, you went and you shechted it, the Torah says you chayv dal vehei, correct? Because you had no right to shecht it. But in a case where I'm a shutav, you can't say I had no right to shecht it.
He didn't steal it either.
I'm saying he didn't steal it either because he's a shutav, it's his.
Well, no, he took it away. He took it out of the base bialim. Meaning, yeah, let's say, for example, on Sunday, right. Tuesday, and Thursday, it's in your rishus, your shutif. On Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, it's in my rishus. I took it on Sunday, and I'm not giving it back to you. That's a maisa gneva. But in the case of shechita, the shechita itself is not a shechita asura. Again, this may depend upon how you understand shutfis. Yeah, you know, if shutfis means we both own the entire animal, then I'm right. If shutfis means we both own half the animal, you own half and I own half, then Tosis is right. Because how can I shecht your half of the animal? That itself is a shechita asur. Okay. The Mishnah says, Shemidas tashlume kefel no heges. Bein b'davashesh boruach chayim. Okay? How do we know this? So this Rabosai is the famous sugya of klal prat u klal. There's something called ribui prat v'ribui, and there's something called klal prat uklal. The difference is the following. If you're operating with a klal prat uklal, then you're limiting the halacha, right? Because then you're limiting the klal by the prat. If on the other hand you have a ribui and then a miut and then another ribui, then you marbe everything, and you're not limiting it by the prat. And the Gemara now is going to analyze the sugya of Kefel, the parasha of Kefel, and try to figure out in the parasha of Kefel, are we applying the rule of klal prat to klal, in which case we're limiting Kefel, or are we applying the rule of ribui, miut, v'ribui? So right now we have a brisa, and the brisa is going to apply the principle of klal prat to klal, which is not going to be good news for us. The Torah says in the parasha of Kefel, which we read earlier, Chaf Beis, Pasuk Ches, Al Kol Dvar Pesha. And that's called a klal. It's pretty clear. Later on, the Gemara is going to call it a ribui, but now the Gemara calls it a klal. Then the Torah continues and says, Al Shor, Al Chamor, Al Se, V'Al Salma. So you have four categories, prat. And that limits the halach of kefel. Then it says, al kol aveda. That's another klal. Chazar v'klol, klal pratu klal, iyata don elke'en haprat. Ma prat mefurosh, dover ametaltel, v'gufo mama. So we're talking about objects that are movable and they have inherent value. Af kol dover ametaltel v'gufo mama, which means that anything that has value, so it's not limited to shor, chamor, or seh. We're going to include any animal, and not only that, salma, which is a clothing, a garment that has inherent value. So we're going to include any inanimate object that has inherent value. So what are we excluding? Every klal pratu klal has to exclude something. So the Gemara says, Yotzu karkos, she'eino metaltolin. Again, how do I steal karka in order to engender a chi of kefel, which is excluded by this klal upratu klal? We're going to have to say it's mechubar lekarka. So the act of gneva was on karka, because mechubar lekarka has the same status as what? As karka. There's another sugi which is way beyond my understanding, called hasagas gvul, where let's say there's a boundary between your karka and my karka, and I move the marker and I take away some of your karka. That's also a case where you could have gzeilin karka, and in this case you're chayv kefel. It's just I honestly don't understand whether or not there's a possibility of dalet v'hei over here. I don't think there's dalet v'hei, because we're talking about something that grows in the karka or the karka itself. The only havamina could be that you chayev kefel. In other words, I return your karka or the mechubar karka that I took off, and I pay its value again a second time. There's no havamina of tvicha mechubar. Does everybody agree with me? Okay, good. Just want to make sure I'm thinking straight here. Then, what else is excluded here? Yotzu avodim. Now, wait a minute. Avadim is metaltel. An eved can move from place to place. So the Gemara answers, the Bryce answers, Shehukshu lekarkos. So I once heard from my Rebbe, not in this perek, I wasn't told to learn this perek with my Rebbe, but he always said that an eved is a chefta of metaltelin that has a chaloshem karka. In other words, for Shibudim, for example, an Eved is not part of Shibudim. The Malva cannot collect from the Eved if the Eved was sold by the Lova to somebody else, from the Lekuchas, because he's a Cheftashel Metaltel, there's no Shibud on Metaltel. He can only collect Metaltel from Bnei Chori, not from Shibudim. But as far as Chalushem Karka is concerned, Lugavi Shvua, for example, the Halach is Einish Boen Ala Karkos, and Einish Boen Ala Avadim. So let's say, for example, what word am I using? I sue you for stealing two of my avodim. You admit that you stole one eved, but you deny that you stole the other eved. In such a case, you don't take a shvua because ein nishbar al karkos. And Rav Soloveitchik said that's a chaloshem eved. I'm sorry, a chaloshem karka. That eved comes under the loch of ein nishbar al karkos. What about the chi of kefel? Does the chi of kefel depend on a chefter shel karka or on a chal shame karka? And the answer is, this price says it depends upon a shame karka. An eved has a shame karka. The Torah says you need metaltolin, because all four pratim that are listed here are all, the common denominator, they're all metaltolin. And the eved, even though he's metaltolin bechefta, but nevertheless he has a shame karka. How does the Braisa know that the p'tur of kefel is engendered by the shame karka? Maybe the p'tur kefel is engendered by the chaloshem chefta, excuse me, not by the chaloshem karka, but the chefta shel karka? I don't know. And then yatsu shtoro, safo pishay metaltolin, ein gufa and mama. What kind of shtar are we talking about? You know, they're all shtars fit into two categories. There's a shtar kinyan and a shtar raya. See, now we're talking about a shtar raya. A shtar raya is called something that's ein gufo mamon. Again, I would be hard-pressed to answer the following question. Let's say the shtar itself is worth a pruta, meaning the vellum, what's it called? The parchment is worth a pruta. So for that, I think he's going to have to pay him two prutas. But what was the hava mina here that you would be chayv kefel in the case of a shtar? The shtar, as we said before, is worth 1,000 to the malve. You would have to pay him by returning the shtar, and you'd have to pay him another 1,000. That's called kefel. If not for the fact that we have this prat, klal upra. Yotze hegdish. Now, this is a little bit strange. At this point, the Braisa takes a little bit of a detour, because we finish with the klal prat and klal. We've excluded karka, we've excluded avodah, we've excluded shtaros through this klal prat and klal. Now we want to know something else. Let's say you steal from hegdish, like this is behemus hegdish, and I steal from hegdish. Do I pay kefel? So that comes under a different category. That's called yotze hegdish. Why? Because rei eyu ksiv, in the parasha of kefel, it says ki yitein ish el rei eyu kesef o kelim, and rei eyu excludes hegdesh. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, ima prat, if you're going back to these specific cases, right, there are three animals that are listed in this, in the Torah, in the parasha of kefel. And what's common to all three animals? We have something called tumas nevela b'maga uvemasa. Let's say the animal dies without shechita. If you touch the animal, or if you carry it in a way that you don't touch the animal, in both cases, you become tumah. Again, exactly what status of tumah you have. Let's say it's a rishon tumah. You're not metame yodim bekelim. You're not a aviavos tumah. You're not an avatum. But anyway, you're tumah. Is af kol dovish and ivlaso metami b'magu masa hol ofos lo. An oaf is not metame, even if it dies without shechita, with magu masa. Again, there's another unique tumah in oaf. Anybody remember what that's called? Tumah space ablia, correct? Which doesn't apply to anything but ofos, but we'll see that later on. So now we're going to exclude oaf. So Rav Bosa, if a man steals an oaf, according to the Havmin of the Gemara, he returns the oaf or its value, but he doesn't pay kefel, because it's not similar to all these cases in the cloud proud of cloud. It doesn't have tumas nevela of maga umasa. So the Gemara says, umimotz is amrit hochva salmoksiv. Whoa. We have in the list here, in addition to the three animals, we have Salma. Now, Salma is not metame nevela, because it's not a nevela, right? Amri, so the Gemara says, anon bebali chayim kamri. This is fascinating. The Gemara thinks that, how do we read this pasuk? We have to split the pasuk into two. I'd be curious to know, I didn't get a chance to look at the Tamei HaMikra, if there would be a raya for this with the Tamei HaMikra. If somebody would do me a favor, check this out. Well, the Bali Kori here, I know we have a number of Bali Kori here in the audience. But it would be cool if there was the support from Tamei HaMikra here. You know, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zichron Levok, is very famous for showing that a lot of the derivations of Torah Shebaal Peh are supported by the Tamei HaMikra. My friend Rabbi Shurin once told me that his Zeder, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, could look at a pasuk and tell you the Tamei HaMikra without seeing them. You know, he had it down to a science.
that's not that difficult.
What do you say? It's not difficult?
It's not that difficult if you're not the
But I thought he was the one who created the rules. You know, you're saying that there are rules that would... Well, the Kabbalah from our Sinai?
There are some exceptions, yeah. But most Sukkim
have rules.
Kadmavi Azla usually comes together.
So that's not good for me. Okay. I was going to say Gishmak if Salma came after an Asnachta or something like that. All right. So basically, the Gemara is arguing that Shor, Hamor, and Ser are one set, and those are called Balei Chaim, and then Salmo is in a different league. You don't read them all in one breath, correct? What you do is you separate them into two categories. There's one category called Kefel for Balei Chaim, and in that context, we're going to exclude Ophos, because Ophos is not Metame Benevela.
In principle, why do you do that? Why should you split it into two parts? We already discussed the four parts together. We said that they have to be metallic, and they have to, etc.
Well, again, keep in mind, Rabbi, that we didn't have any exclusion from the word Salma, because we've only been dealing with animals, correct?
No.
So now the Gemara is going to vacillate back and forth. What do we do with Salma? So one argument would go that Salma should be swallowed up, like you say, in the whole set. And if we swallow up Solomon to the whole set, then it's telling me that all animals, even those, or all, I shouldn't say...
All things.
But all Balei Chaim. Is that called animals? Is a bird called an animal? I don't know.
Yeah.
You have to look at Merriam-Webster's official dictionary. But anyway, let's assume that a bird is called an animal. So what we're saying here through Salma is don't limit the Chiv Kefel to animals that are metami b'nevela, but include all animals. Right? That's what Salma is doing. So the Gemara is now resisting that. Ultimately, the Gemara is going to accept that. But right now, in the Havamina, the Gemara is resisting that because the Gemara thinks that Salma is going to have to exclude something else, which is called a Dovr Shein Bo Simon. Okay, whatever that means. That's a difficult piece of Gemara, but the Gemara thinks that Salma comes under a different category. So let's see the Gemara inside. Amri, Anan v'Balei Chaim Komrinon. We're looking at the three cases of Shor, Hamor, and Seh as Balei Chaim. They form a set, right, unto itself. And Amor, I would therefore argue that Balei Chaim, Dovashin Ivloso, Metame, B'magu, Masa, In, Dovashin Ivloso, Metame, B'magu, Masa, Low, and here we turn to the Daf Samach Gimel and Aleph. The Kol Chad V'Chad Klal Uprat Bi'Ate Nafshe Darshinu. Meaning, we take the Klal Uprat in two different units, so two different directions, two different roads. One is as far as Balei Chaim are concerned, and therefore we have to figure out what was unique about, or what was common to all these Pratim that was specified and singled out in Balei Chaim, and then we go on to the second unit, which is called Salma, and that's going to exclude something else. That's not Dumya de Salma. You may remember that in the parasha of Hashavas Aveda, which we'll get to in a minute, Salma is the archetype, is the prototype of a Dovr Sheyesh Bo Simon, right? Because today in our manufacturing world, it's a little different, but back in the day when all clothing was handmade, every different article of clothing was different. So that's Salma. So Salma comes to exclude something which is a Dovar She'ein Bo, Ein Bo Sima. But that's under the category of inanimate objects, correct? Inanimate objects. Aval Ophos, which is comes under animate objects, lo. So the Gemara says, nay, that can't be. There's no way that you can tell me that Shor Seh, what does it say? Shor, Seh, Hamor, V'Seh are a unit that are excluding Ophos. Impossible. Why? In Cain, according to... You see, Rabbi, the Gemara could have said, I don't like this part, but the Gemara is even starker than that. I'm going to prove to you that that can't be correct. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's why the Gemara here is very sharp. The Gemara says, in Cain, Nichtov Rachmona Chad Prata. right? If the Torah had specified one animal, singled out one animal and one animal only, we could have easily derived that that animal has this feature that it's nivlasos mitame bimago umasa. From the fact that the Torah had to give many different pratim, obviously the Torah, I'm sorry, from the fact that the Torah had to add salma, right? It means that the Torah wants to give many different details and many different categories to include and expand the scope of the Chiyuv Kefal. And therefore, the Gemara says, your argument that we cannot include Ophos based on Salma, that's not a good argument. Because again, if you're consistent with your logic and we want to limit the Bali Chaim category to only that which is Nivlasa Matame Bhagmasa, then the Torah should have just chosen one animal. Obviously the Torah wants to have this very broad unit, and it's coming to include more than just Matame, you know, Nivlasa Matame Bhagmas. So the Gemara says that's not a good proof. Why not? Hey Michtov Rahmana, you're gonna now have to commit yourself to one particular animal. And if you do so, you're in deep trouble. Why? In other words, the Gemara now wants to justify why we need all three categories of animals. Shor, Chamor, and Seh. E, Kos, Rachman, is Shor. What's unique about Shor? Hav, Amin, Akariv, Legabi, Mizbeach, In, Ein, Akariv, Legabi, Mizbeach, Lo. Again, this is fascinating. The Gemara is talking about the significance or the yichus, I don't know how you say it in English, the yichus, you know, the special status of an animal or a category of animals because of ritual law. And that's going to have an afkamina as to whether or not you pay kefal. Meaning, what I stole from you is something that has such chashivas to it because it can be used on the mizbeach. But ein kariv legabi mizbeach lo. So, for example, a chamor, right? We have a din of Mimashke Yisrael, right? Minamuta Beficha, that you're only allowed to bring on the Mizbeach that which you yourself are allowed to eat, right? Macholos Asuras are prohibited from the Mizbeach, and therefore Chamor, which is Macholos Asuras, the payment made, cannot be included in the category of Shor because it's Eino Karev Al Gabi Mizbeach. The Ikos Rachman of Chamor, right? Because Chamor has the advantage that it's that it tells me it's more all inclusive, even though it's not Nikra Valgami Mizbeach, but it also teaches us that it's Metame Binivlaso Bimagu Maso. Because of Rachmono Chamor, Hava Amina, there's something unique about a Chamor within the constellation of Behemos Tmeos, and that is Kodesh B'Bchor. There's a whole parish of Kedushas B'Bchor with regard to Chamor in. And that would include even Shor, even Seh, therefore Yechayev and Kefal in these three cases. But Ein Kodesh B'Bchoro, let's say there's certain animals that don't have Kedushas B'Bchoro, that's called Chayos, right? Chayos as opposed to Behemos, for example, Tzvi, the Ayal, Lo. And therefore, if you steal a gazelle or a ram, did I get that right? An Ayal is a ram? What's an Ayal in English?
No, it's
a ram. If you steal a ram, you're not Chayev Kefal, Lo, because again, it's not similar to, it is similar to Shor and Seh in the fact that it's Karev al Gabi Mizbeach, but it's not similar to Chamor because it doesn't have Kedushas Bechora. Therefore, the Torah had to tell us Shor, and Shor is going to teach us even something that, L'chein Kosva Torah Shor, right? And we don't need Shor for itself, because again, Shor has both elements that it's Karev L'Mizbeach and it has Kedushas Bechora. Then the extra word Shor here in this context must be telling us even something that's Eino Kadosh B'Kedushas Bechora, and that means Ophos. Amri, the Gemara says, that's not an argument. In Cain, Michtov Rachman is Shor V'Chamor, Seh Lomali. Seh would be the extra word over here, because Seh has both advantages of Karev al Gabi Mizbeach and Kedushas Bechor. Shmamina, it must be that if Seh is an extra category, it must be to teach us that we take all these categories not as separate units, but rather to be marbe other things, because otherwise Shor is completely superfluous. lasuye ophos, and therefore we're going to derive ophos, even though ophos. So if I steal an ophos chayav kefil, even though the ophos is not kadosh b'kedushas bechor, and it's also not mitame tumas nevelu b'maga uvemasa. It is karev al gabi mizbeach, of course, but I need a special ribui of seh. And seh is now coming to be marba ofos. Fine. The aim of it may be lasuye ofos tahorim. Ah, there's something unique about an of tar, and this has to do with tumas besablia. Dumi de seh, demetami begodim a besablia. In other words, if you have an avela of an oaf, if the oaf is an oaf tar, then the nevela of an oaf tar is metamid besabli. If somebody swallows a shear, whatever that shear is, we don't know, but a shear of oaf tame, oaf tar benevela wasn't shechted, then when he swallows it, he becomes tame. And it's a very severe tumor because it's even metame begodim. Now, let's say while he's eating this, we'll call it a kazayis, but that's not true, but he's eating a shear of nevelas of tar, and he's wearing clothes, those clothes become tmeim. So then we can include of tar, because it's similar to seh, because both in the case of nevelas seh and in the case of nevelas ofos, there's a tumor called tumas beis hablia. What's the chiddush Rav Moshe have tumas beis hablia? Why is that a gevaldige chiddush that a beis hablia is mitame? It's not mitame in anything else. If I eat the nevela of an oaf tame, or for that matter of any other animal, it's not mitame. Any other bay mitame, it's not mitame beis hablia. It's only mitame b'mago masa. Why is tumas beis hablia a radical chiddush? That's called tumas beis hastorim. Are you familiar with that? In other words, normally tumah depends upon something that you can see, but if it's tum in a private place, like for example dam nida beis hachitzon. If you're interested, we can learn about this in El. Hint, hint. If you want to learn the sefer nida in El, okay, the cult's been learning nida, so I have vested interest in learning nida. So that's called Beis HaStorm. So the Chiddush of Tumas Nida in Beis HaChitzon, it didn't come out yet. And the Gemara has a drosh of Bibsara, actually Yotzis Mibsara. So that has to do with the difference between what's called an Avi Avos HaTumah and Tumas Yitziyah Min HaGuf, which is Metame Olabayla, right? So different aspects, but we won't get into that. So in the case of Tumas Oftar, Nevelas Oftar, that's what we want to talk about. Nevelas oftar is not metame b'magu v'masa. And then Achimid is if you put it into my throat, yeah, right? That's called tochavlo b'beis hablia. Then when it comes into my beis hablia, even before I swallow it, I become tome. Not only do I become tome, but my begotten become tome. And that's called a tumas beis hastorim, where even though there was no magu v'masa, because again, we're talking about oaf. Nevelas oaf is not mitame b'maga umaso, but nevertheless, if it's an oftar, it's mitame b'what? B'beis hablia. If it's an oftame, then it's not mitame neither b'maga umaso nor b'beis hablia. So the Gemara wants to suggest now that, okay, you've succeeded in telling me that you have kefil for stealing an oaf tar, because that has a similarity to set, such and such, because it's metame beis hablia b'nevela. But if it's an oaf tame, it's not metame beis hablia b'nevela. And therefore, well, ofos tmeim de lesbu tuma de lo metame begodim a beis hablia lo, then it wouldn't be chayef kefel. So basically, what the Gemara is saying now is that even if I added set, and the reason why the Torah added says to include what? Ofos. But that would only extend as far as what kind of an oaf? An oaf tar, but not an oaf tamei. So if I steal your raven, right? Edgar Allan Poe, right? Then I would not be chayav kefa. And therefore we need some sort of special ribui for oaf tamei. And now the Gemara makes a complete about face, throws out klal pradu klal, because that's not going to get us to where we want to go. And instead, it substitutes what's called ribui miut the ribui. And that's what Gemara answers here. Kol ribuyehu. If you remember, we started the parasha with al kol dvar pesha, right? And that's considered what? Not a klal at this point, but rather a ribui. We have to shift our whole way of thinking. And now we're going to say that al kol dvar pesha is called a ribui. Now, Rabosai, keep in mind that it says kol, right? Only two letters. This has nothing to do with gematria, but we're going to have other cases where of klal pratu klal, where the word kol is conjugated. And if it's conjugated, then we apply the principle of klal pratu klal, and rather the principle of ribui. In fact, the Gemara, v'chol heicha dekosav kol ribuyehu, that's not true, because when I take my sasheni, if I can't schlep 1/10 of my produce to Yerushalayim, I'm poded onto what? Onto Mos. And then I take the Mos up to Yerushalayim, I eat food in Yerushalayim. Obviously it has to be kosher food, but what else does it have to be? It's got to be similar to what's called pre-migdule karka. V'hagabi maisa d'chsiv kol v'kadarshinan. The Brisa says that it says v'nasata akesef b'chol. Again, we don't know about the base of b'chol yet. That's classified information. So it says v'nasata akesef b'chol asher tavas nafshecha klal ba'boker. I'm sorry, ba'boker uvatzon uvayayin v'sheichar prat. And then it says u'v'chol asher tisholcha nafshecha chazar v'chol klal prat u'klal yata don ela kena prat ma prat b'furish pre the gidule karka. I've called pre the gidule karka. You can buy with meiser, kesef meiser, sheni, something that's not pre. For example, water, salt, or k'moyen u'pitchios, mayim melach, k'moyen u'pitchios, various kinds of mushrooms that grow from water, but they don't grow from the ground. Or, for example, dagim, which are not considered gedule karka. Animals are considered gedule karka. That's a pella. Why is an animal called gedule karka? But dagim are not called gedule karka. In any event, we see clearly that the kol is darshined as what? As a klal pratu klal, which means we're allowed to exclude. Now you're telling me we would have, if we would apply klal pratu klal to the parasha of kefo, we would have excluded of Tomei, but name. Instead of klal pratu klal, we're going to apply the principle of ribui. Why ribui? Because it says kol. If kol includes everything, again, we still don't know if kol includes everything. Why did the Torah bother with ses, salma, etc., etc.? Okay, that's a different kasha. The Achronim go to town on that kasha. Amri, the Gemara says, bichol kloa. When there's a bichlal, you can't use it as a ribui for some reason. But kol ribui hafa. So again, what determines whether or not it's klal pratu klal or ribui miut the ribui? It all hinges on the extra bays. If you have the extra bays, for example, the parasha of Ma'aseh Sheni, it says bechol asher ta'av nafshecha u'bechol asher tish'olcha nafshecha. That's called a klal, not a ribui. But in the parasha of Kefel, the Torah says kol Dvar Pesha, and then it says Kol Aveda, it doesn't say Bikol, and therefore we use it as a Ribui, Miut U Ribui. Okay, just one more minute and then I'll let you go. V'bais Ema, another possible answer is Kol Klolahu, that Anachinami, the word Kol is a Klal, with one exception, in Kefa. Kefal is the exception. Miu kol da'acha, the word kol in the case of kefal is going to be a ribui. Ribuyehu. Why? Why should kefal be different? And therefore we've married by ofos? The answer is michti. Ksiv meikara. There's already a cloud, part of cloud earlier in the parasha, before this pasuk of al kol aveda sakhicha. And the ksiv it says, ki yitein ish el re'eu cloud. Kesef o kelim prat lishmar hadav kolal. Yeah, you have to understand why the word lishmar is a klal. But anyway, Why does Torah need a second klal, pratu klal? Why didn't the Torah just combine them together? Ella what? Al kol var pesha lomali shmamina ribuyehu. So Rav Osei Mirtz Hashem, b'li neder, the next shiur, which I don't know when it'll be, the tomorrow or Wednesday, I mean...
Why tomorrow?
I'd like to give it tomorrow because...
Why wouldn't it be tomorrow?
Well, I'm in a political quandary here because, the geschmack of this experiment would be if we can continue building, for a week, a week. There's a beautiful sugi in any event on Daf Samech Hei, and that starts with the word Gufa Rav Omar. And this is the famous sugya.
We're on Samach Hei.
On Samach Hei.
About 3 lines.
Two dots.
You see, about 3 lines, 4 lines down from the top, the two dots gufa. Okay, and it forms an independent unit. And basically, this will touch on our fundamental issue about the relationship between Tashlumi Kefel and Dal Vehei. And it touches on a very famous sugya called Tavrei Veshasye. The Ketzos is very famous for a lot of his chidushim that are very world famous are rooted, are anchored here in this sugi. So that's the sugi that I'd love to study next, and after that we'll choose b'li neder other sugis depending on how much time we have before or after Tisha B'Av in Perek HaChokel. So our goal now is to study Chiyuve Kefel, which is the next Av of the Avos Nezikin on the list. Okay, then.
So tomorrow we're going to do one on Samach Hei. We're just going to continue.
Yes, B'li Nedim, Samach Hei.
I think tomorrow or Wednesday.
Tomorrow, and then we'll try to find something for the Wednesday people too. We don't want to leave out anybody. Tomorrow's at 12:15.
I'm not sure, but the Rosh says it's three and Ayel. I think there's a difference between an Ayel and an Ayol. An Ayol is a kind of deer, and an Ayel is a ram. So it's a ram would be in the same category as a Sashor. It's one of them. I'm not positive. But I'm pretty sure.
Do me a favor, see if he says
I'm pretty sure.
That's something that he would say sometimes.
It's Tzvi Hayol and Chamor, Yachmor always come together, right. And they're different species of deer. I'm pretty sure.